Hello and welcome to A Slice of Life R here on 938 Live. This is your dose of DIY motivation. Now, a civil engineer by training, my guest today was a senior consultant and senior director at PUB, Singapore's National Water Agency, until his retirement in 2012. Now, while in PUB, he was involved in the development of Singapore's drainage infrastructure over a period of 30 years. Yap King Guan now spends his time giving talks on subjects in his professional field, as well as in his personal area of interest, such as meditation, well-being, and happiness. He is particularly interested in helping people deal with difficulties at the workplace and draws on more than 3 decades of working experience to do so. He is the director of Brahm Center Singapore, and Brahm Center is a registered charity helping to promote happiness and healthy living. It organizes free talks to members of the public under categories such as happiness, health and wellness, financial and social. And today we're talking about mindfulness. Now, you might have heard about this term, mindfulness, a practice which offers a way to finding happiness in life, one that is rooted in the idea of being fully present, in the present, that is, and living in the here and now. A concept that is, you know, in theory, rather straightforward and simple, but I suppose for many of us, in practice, it can be rather tough. So we're going to get some insights from my guest, Yap King Guan, today on mindfulness. King Guan, welcome to 938 Live.
Well, thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us today. Now, the issue of mindfulness has been explored on my show before, but I'd like to get your take on it. What do you mean by being mindful?
Well, at the simplest level, mindfulness is just being aware, as simple as that. But of course, it is more than just the normal awareness or the conventional awareness that we often experience. I would say that what it's able to do for us is to take it beyond the normal awareness and to see things as they really are. I mean, we are really looking at how mindfulness can be taken, if you like, to a more profound level. A good example would be this. We are aware of what's going on around us, obviously. And what's so important is also to be aware of what's inside us. That's the source of many of our stress, sometimes leading to distress. And if we're not mindful of what's going on inside us and we let it run its course, then that's where we might react to situation, react to things that we see or hear, and very often doing things that we might regret later on. So here we are talking about mindfulness that goes beyond just being aware, but to try to look at things, if I may use a very technical term here, in its bare awareness, looking at things for what they really are, without attaching labels, without attaching your own biasness, your prejudices, and so on. So this is very often one of the common problems that we face. We look at someone, and straight away, because of our experience with that person, our perception, and so on, we immediately give a label to that person. Whether we like that person or we don't like that person, it's almost an instant labeling that you give to that person.
We react spontaneously and instinctively from our subconscious and not really from that conscious mind.
Correct.
Yeah. And I suppose in a way, mindfulness is consciousness.
Right.
Yeah, and like you mentioned, it's true that, you know, for on a day-to-day basis, we all assume that we are fully conscious of whatever we're doing, we're thinking, we're saying. But the fact is that a huge percentage of that is just based on automatic, you know, our automatic reactions to stimuli.
Right.
Not something that we consciously think about.
Yeah, that's a very interesting observation. In fact, one of the terms that I normally use is that when you look at your life from the moment you wake up to the moment you go to bed, and even when you're sleeping, we tend to put our life on autopilot. We have lots of past experiences where we go by and everything seems to be so routine and so mundane. And so much so that we do not really notice that things are actually not the same. If you look deeper at a person that you are so familiar with, that person may well change and you don't notice it. But because of your prejudices, the kind of experience that you have with that person, you make assumption, and that so-called label is stuck with that person, and you just cruise through, and situations, person, and so on are treated the same way. And in that way, we find that we tend then to lose what's important in the moment. In this very moment, we may well be thinking about things, doing things that may not necessarily be doing it with mindfulness. Yeah.
Is that one of the reasons why we have lost, you know, some of that awareness? You mentioned life being mundane, us being caught up in, you know, some, the pace of life as well, and focusing on various things that are frustrating or vexing us. Is that one of the reasons why we've lost our consciousness of life?
Yeah, well, we seems to be able to, whether it's for a matter of being expedient with things and just wanting to do things in a very convenient and familiar way, that we don't really look deep into what we are doing. And yeah.
Yeah, it's a very human thing, isn't it? Because if you think about it, we receive so much stimuli all the time. And I think our brain, we can't process everything. Right? So over time, we learn to block a lot of things so that we can, in our way, deal and manage the world. But in doing so, very often we block out things that are, you know, can be savored, can be appreciated, sure. And we focus more on the things that bring us grief or anxiety or worry.
Exactly. I'm more concerned with how we look at situations that cause us distress. And usually these are the situations that really show up the way we look at things, not in my mind, a very skillful way. For example, somebody saying nasty things to you, it could well be that it's intended to be nasty and make you feel like you're the victim. Or if you could look even deeper into the situation, if we're able to really say that, well, these are just words that come, and like you say, you get stimuli all the time. You hear something, and that's just one of the stimuli that goes, and in your mind you process it, and you process it as something nasty. And even before you could even give some thoughts to it, you react. And that's where a lot of life problems come, because of that lack of being able to put a stop in between the time when you receive your stimuli to the time you react. And this is where mindfulness can help us to, if you like, put a gap between what you see, what you hear, when you receive the stimuli, and the time when you react. And very, very often, we tend to react in a very unskillful way, or shall I say, even in the wrong way, because of our judgment, because of the way we perceive the event, or what we see. It may not be what it really is.
It's almost primitive, really, because we are always defending against attacks, whether they are real or imagined. Yeah, sure. And I'd like to get your perspective later on after a short break as well, because you're talking about really how we assign negative meanings to certain events and people in life, and of course therein lies also. Some people say that, you know, if I were to just take everything as a good thing, do I open myself up to being bullied? Do I make myself vulnerable? So that is something I'd like to get your perspective on later on in the show. I'm chatting today with Director of BRAHM Center Singapore, Yap Keng Guan, more about the practice of mindfulness and how we can use it to find more happiness in life. Coming up here on A Slice of Life Hour on 938 Live. We're talking about mindfulness today here on A Slice of Life Hour on 938 Live, a practice that offers a way to find happiness and one that is rooted in living in the present moment fully and living in the here and now. And chatting about this with me today is Yap King Guan, who is director of Brahm Center Singapore. And earlier, King Guan, we were talking about how the practice of mindfulness can be scuttled sometimes by our how we make negative meanings out of people and events that stress us out. We assume the worst, you know, when these things happen. And, you know, presumably we are saying that let's try and be more sympathetic. Let's look at the good side. Let's think maybe this person is having a bad day, that sort of thing. But I've heard from people who perhaps have who tend to react more aggressively than the usual person. And their reason for doing so is that they feel that if they do not counterattack or to behave nastily in return to a nasty event, they are opening themselves up to more attacks and to being bullied. So what are your thoughts on that?
I think one of the important things for us to remember is that for us to be really serious about wanting to find happiness, the key is that we need to have, or rather to cultivate, an inner peace, a peace of mind. We may be agitated, we might be provoked, we see all kinds of things that make us angry, but these are external factors, and if you bring it inside you and make yourself angry, straight away your peace of mind is gone. So I think even before we talk about how we should react, I think the first thing that we need to ask ourselves is whether our peace of mind, our state of mind, has it been destabilized because of what you saw, what you heard, and because of the provocation. If indeed it is, then I think that's the first thing that we need to check ourselves. The reaction and what we should do about it is really secondary. And for someone in pursuit of happiness, I think that's the most important part. And that's where mindfulness plays such an important role. Because if we are able to watch ourselves, not just the external, but within ourselves, and seeing the emotion rising, the feeling coming up, if we can indeed check that emotion and not grow it, very often if you notice an anger rising, we tend to feed it. And a small spark can then become a big fire before you know it. And that's when you let things run their own course, your life on autopilot, and very often you get situation after situation. Some little things provoke you, start off with a small spark, and before you know it, you know, inside you have that ability to make stories. Mm-hmm. It grows.
Mm. And for some of us, it's this natural instinct to want to be right or to feel right, you know, in a sense. And that's why we're always defending ourselves, but to perhaps the detriment of relationships with our loved ones, with you know, our bosses, our colleagues. And we continue to chat with Yap King Guan more about mindfulness and how that can help you make your workplace less stressful, make yourself more creative, in fact, as well. Here on A Slice of Life on 938 Live, is there a routine to the practice of mindfulness? Any special training? We'll find out in about 15 minutes here on A Slice of Life here on 938 Live. Do stay with me, Eugene Low. We're talking about mindfulness here on A Slice of Life Hour on 938 Live. I'm Eugene Low, and we're talking about mindfulness as a practice that offers a way for us to find more happiness in life, one that is rooted in living in the present moment more fully and living in the here and now, a more profound consciousness, you know, of the world, you know, if you will, around us, as well as ourselves. You know, that's the key thing as well, to be more aware of what the things around us are doing to us inside. Understanding more keenly how people and events are affecting our moods, our work performance, our relationships and all that, and, you know, really reframing our perceptions and our responses to them. Can we perhaps give a little more thought to that instead of, you know, reacting spontaneously and instinctively all the time, which may or may not yield the results that we want? And so we're talking about today, of course, mindfulness as a path. There are many paths, of course, towards greater fulfillment. But if you are finding that you are, you know, often distressed at the workplace, finding it getting increasingly banal, perhaps your relationships with your loved ones, with your colleagues, isn't going too well, and you're not quite sure what you can do, well, then mindfulness is something that can help your situation. And Yap Kim Guan is my guest today. He is the director of Brahm Center Singapore. Brahm Center is a registered charity, and its mission is to promote happy and healthy living. I love that. And it organizes free talks to members of the public under categories like happiness, health and wellness, financial and social. Go to brahmcenter.com for more information. There's a link via my Facebook page as well, A Slice of Life, under pages at Facebook. Brahm is spelled B-R-A-H-M, brahmcenter.com. All right, King Guan, we all like formulae and three steps to something, you know. So, of course, we're talking about something that is almost impossible to pin down. But then again, we can start on it. So do you think there is a routine that we can use as a premise to help us live more mindfully?
Well, certainly if we make an effort to make mindfulness, or rather ingrain mindfulness in our daily life, we could consciously tell ourselves that we don't switch to the autopilot mode the moment you wake up to the moment you go to bed, but rather in every situation that we come into, to be aware of what's happening. Take for example, when we wake up, we go through the routine of washing up, brushing our teeth, and so on and so forth. Of course, we are still in that state where we just woke up, so it's kind of hard to be mindful, but we should try. We should try. And in that way, we can then anchor ourselves in the present moment. And if that's difficult, never mind. When we go on into the car or go into the train, there'll be a lot of situations where you have this opportunity to practice mindfulness. Waiting for the train, for example, crowded train, platforms full of people and so on. Now, do we need to get angry? I mean, if we do, then it's certainly going to ruin that moment, going to ruin the day. But why not choose the alternative of just watching your anger, that emotion that's rising. And perhaps, you know, tell yourself that, look, you're now in that situation, the train got to come maybe in 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, but that's not really a long time. And during that 2-3 minutes, we could then actually be aware of what's happening inside us. Mm-hmm. Just watch the anger rising. And the interesting thing is that you pay attention to the anger, it will soon disappear. Mm-hmm. Rather than let it be, and very soon you'll grow and grow, and you become so upset with the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. That's normally what happened.
Yeah.
And we go to work, the same thing, you probably bump into a lot of situations where people make you angry, whether it's colleague, boss, or people below you, or even situations, crisis that you have to deal with. Again, the same thing, we don't have to really react in a way that we might regret later on. Mm. But putting a gap between what you're impacted with and how you react, I think sometimes can be a very useful space that you put in between. When you go home, one of the favorite things that I like to do is, or rather not like to do or try not to do, is to try to do too many things at one time. You take your dinner and you watch TV or read the papers all at one time. But where really are you, what really are you trying to do? You're probably suboptimal the time or your attention on each of these three or four activities that you're trying to do.
Mm. Where are you giving 100% of yourself, and are you absorbing, you know,
exactly,
100% or almost, right, 100% from the experience?
Sure.
Right?
Yeah. And one of the useful practices that some of the practitioners I know do is when they eat, it's really a fantastic opportunity to practice being in the here and now. And if you can choose to practice mindfully, just eating when you're eating, nothing more. it is really a wonderful experience. You get to cherish the food, you know what you're eating. And even the simplest of fare can be like gourmet food. Right? And when you finish your dinner, go and wash your dishes mindfully. You don't see that as a chore. You don't label it as something that, well, why is it that I'm so, it's so unfair that I have to wash the dishes today and not my siblings or somebody else. And the moment you do that, the moment you put labor to your task, that's why you find a lot of stress goes to your task. But take it as it is, just washing dishes, cleaning it up, and you do it mindfully. And again, that experience, anchoring yourself in the here and now, is really a wonderful experience. It's just what it is. I mean, just wash dishes, you clean the stuff off the plates, dry it, task over. So when you do this thing, and the simplest task can really be an enjoyable experience to you, and slowly you expand it to maybe a more complex situation, you find that you can see life in a totally different way. Things will open up to you.
At any point in your life, whatever that you're doing, there is always that decision. You have that option, either to take it as something unpleasurable, unsavory, or something that you can find some joy in. And we tend, you know, as human beings, we tend to have this inclination towards, you know, focusing on what's frustrating us at the moment and making that the entire picture.
Right.
Yeah. And that's what brings us all this stress. And we don't think about it that, you know, daily, all these frustrations and how they get to us. We don't think much of them, but they do insidiously affect our relationships, our moods, our sleep, our diet, our habits, even, you know, because when we're unhappy, then we tend to go for quick fixes. You know, whatever they may be, to try and feel better. When really, you know, this, I suppose, gradual practice of being more mindful of what you can appreciate, you know, out of life will bring you that deeper fulfillment.
Well, I think this is particularly useful in relationship. When you're with a person, like right now being with you, being mindful that we're speaking and engaging each other, I think that's a, if you can bring yourself to this very moment and not have your thoughts stray all over the place to thinking of what you're going to do after this talk or what happened before, but just being now in the present and here and now, I think that really enriched the whole experience. And it's the same with any interpersonal relationship, your spouse, somebody close to you. If you can, when you're speaking to that person or listening to that person, be there to listen and to speak, I think it really makes a lot for that relationship to grow. Very often we don't really pay too much attention, to be very honest, because we are probably saddled with a lot of thoughts, a lot of things, and that's where we lose our mindfulness. We're no longer living in the present moment with the present situation, but rather very often we're living in the past, dragging in the past in, the fears, the worries, the remorses, the regrets and all the silly things that we've done.
Things that we can't do anything about right now anyway.
Or even bringing the future, worrying about something that's going to crop up tomorrow or the next day when you have to do a presentation and things like that. So we hardly really get a chance to live the present moment. Mindfulness is important for us to reclaim the present moment. And that is where it calls on us constantly to be aware of what's going on around us, but more importantly, inside us. Is your peace of mind being destabilized by emotion and things like that? And if it is, then that's where mindfulness will put a check. And it really helps us in, I would say, two very important ways. One is that it provides a curb, a restraint, if you like, you know, to make sure that we don't do silly things. But at the same time, it can constantly remind us that we are here on this earth to be useful to other people. There can be, I'm sure the world needs a lot of kindness, a lot of love, and this is what we can do. And that's what mindfulness can do for us too.
Yes. right down to the very core, we all know what we need to do to lead a better life. It's just that sometimes we don't give too much of thought to it because we're so engulfed in the heat of the moment or something, or the stress of the moment. So really, it is a personal choice. You know, if happiness is so elusive, people say, you know, and if you can get towards that by thinking more critically about it and, you know, practicing it to an extent, you know, gradually. It's a process of time. We're not saying that, hey, this is a magic formula that can help you immediately become very happy, but it's something that you practice over time, and then you will feel the benefits as you go along. Thank you very much, King Guan.
Thank you, Eugene,
for sharing your insights today. My guest, Yap King Guan, who is director of Brahm Center Singapore. Now, Brahm Center does very good work promoting happy and healthy living. And to find out more about, you know, mindfulness, things like happiness, health and wellness, even financial and social issues, you can go to brahmcenter.com. That's BRAHMcenter.com. I'm Eugene Lo, and this has been A Slice of Life Hour on 938 Live.